Please turn your Bibles to the Gospel of John. John, the 20th chapter. I'm going to read verses 19 through 23. This is my text. Mark the place in your Bible. I will be back to it. And as we read it, I will remind you that this is the Word of God. John 20:19. So when it was evening of that day, the first day of the week, and when the doors were shut where the disciples were, for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in their midst and said to them, "Peace be with you." And when he had said this, he showed them both his hands and his side, and the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. So Jesus said to them, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, their sins have been forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they have been retained." Let's pray. Now, Lord, of course, our text here is a direct follow-up from last Sunday. He is risen. He is risen indeed. Seems kind of strange that in light of that truth that they're behind locked doors, fearful. Now, Lord, I realize that it just happened that morning, so they're still trying to decipher what this means. But Jesus appears and tells them exactly what it means. And what he told them then, he's telling us now. How should we act if Christ indeed is risen? So I pray this morning, God, you would open our eyes, our hearts, our minds to your word. It is you speaking, and we ask that through the word preached that Christ would be glorified and hearts to be changed. Amen. While you are in John 20, I want to just read from Luke. Luke, the historian, gives us a fuller account of what John 20 tells us. So I'd like to read Luke's accounting of the story in addition to what we're going to see in John chapter 20. But Luke says this, "And they got up that very hour and returned to Jerusalem and found them together, the 11 and those who were with them, saying, 'The Lord has really risen and has appeared to Simon.' And they began to relate their experiences on the road and how he was recognized by them in the breaking of the bread. And while they were telling these things, he himself stood in their midst and said, 'Peace to you.' But they were startled and frightened and thought that they were seeing a spirit. And he said to them, 'Why are you troubled? And why do doubts arise in your hearts? See my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Touch me and see, for a spirit doesn't have flesh and bones as I have.' And when he said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. And while they still could not believe it because of their joy and amazement, he said to them, 'Have you anything to eat?' They gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and ate it before them." Now, I read Luke just to show that there were more than just 11, the 11 disciples here in John chapter 20. It only mentions the disciples, but in Luke's account of what happened, it wasn't just the disciples. There were more than just the 11 disciples. Or the 11 apostles, Judas, of course, no longer being one. Now, the resurrection had happened that morning. Jesus had already appeared to several people. So they knew that Jesus was alive, that he had risen from the dead. The reports had been coming in. He had even appeared to Simon. Now, last Sunday, we proclaimed, "He is risen. He is risen indeed." This Sunday, I say, then act like it. If he truly is risen, if he is risen indeed, act like it. You see, they weren't acting like it. They weren't acting like it. But let's allow John to tell us what happened. Because of the resurrected Christ, you have peace with God. Look at John 20:19. Because of the resurrected Christ, you have peace with God. So when the evening, so when it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, when the doors were shut where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in their midst, and the first thing he said to them was, "Peace be with you." Verse 21. So Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you." Because of the resurrected Christ, we have peace with God. They were huddled behind closed doors in fear of the Jews. They had no peace. They weren't experiencing the peace that Christ had provided through his death, burial, and resurrection. But he appears to them because Jesus is who he said he was. Jesus is who he said he was. The resurrection validates all of his claims. Everything that he claimed in his 3.5 years of public ministry is validated by the resurrection. And he appears before them and says, "I am who I said I was. What are you afraid for? I am the resurrected Son of God." The resurrection proves that Jesus is the Son of God. The resurrection proves that Jesus is the Son of God. Romans 1:4. Who was declared the Son of God with power by the resurrection from the dead according to the Spirit of holiness, Jesus Christ our Lord. He was declared the Son of God by the resurrection. There's no reason for doubt. There's no reason for fear. He is risen. He is risen indeed. We have gone from being hopeless to being hopeful. At first, they thought it was hopeless. Christ is dead. He's buried. He's in a tomb. Everything we thought did not come to pass. He isn't who we thought he was until 3 days later he rises from the grave. We have gone from being hopeless, no hope of facing God in our sin, no hope of spending eternity with the Father, no hope of breaking the chains of sin or the bondage of sin until Christ rose from the dead. We serve a risen Savior. This is what he is trying to communicate to them. Act like I'm risen. We serve a risen Savior. Act like it. We are covered by the blood of the Lamb. We are justified before God. He was delivered over to death for our sins and raised to life for our justification. We stand fearless before a holy God, not because of what we've done, but because of what Christ has done. I can stand before God just as if I've never sinned. I'm justified before God. Romans 5:1. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 9. Much more than having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from the wrath of God through him. I have nothing. I do not have to fear God's judgment on my sin. Christ bore that judgment. The resurrection proved that he bore that judgment. When he said, "It is finished," it's finished. Act like it. Act like it. The resurrection proves that Jesus has defeated death. I don't even have to fear death anymore. Jesus has made the way. Because he was raised, so shall we be raised. So believe in the resurrection is to believe in God. Our verse said he was declared by God to be his son by his resurrection from the dead. you know, people make all kinds of claims to believe in God. You know, what kind of God? I have no idea sometimes. What they mean by believe in God, I don't know. But I do know this. If the resurrection is true, then that's a God you should believe in. The one who can defeat death. The one who can rise from the grave. A God who cannot do the supernatural is not a God at all. The resurrection proves God's immense power, his sovereignty over life and death. The resurrection proves Christ's sinless character and his divine nature. All this is proven by the resurrection. We serve a risen Savior who is the Son of God, who was sinless and divine and has the power over life and death. Act like it. The resurrection proves that Jesus saves. The resurrection proves that Jesus saves. Verse 20. And when he had said this, he showed them both his hands and his side, and the disciples then rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Now, I've pondered over this verse a little bit. We saw when we looked 2 weeks ago at Isaiah 53, that Jesus was basically beaten beyond recognition, right? He was pummeled. His face bore the brunt that the people who knew him wouldn't even recognize him. That his back was laid open with whips. He lost so much blood he couldn't carry his own cross. But we know when he came out of the grave, all that was gone. He has a glorified body. He has a new body, right? But we have to ask ourselves a question. If those wounds are gone, if the facial wounds are gone, if the back is healed, why does he still have the signs of nails in his palms and in his side? Well, I believe I know. The wounds in his hands and side were not a result of the beating and the flogging he received before his crucifixion, but rather the result of his crucifixion. So everything that happened before the crucifixion was redeemed, was healed, was taken care of when he received his glorified body, which he demonstrated by being able to appear behind locked doors, right? But yet the nail prints and the sign of the spear in his side, they were not a result of the beatings, of what he endured, of his wounds. They were the result of the actual death, his crucifixion. And they are still there to show that he's the crucified, risen Savior. So these did not come from the beatings. These came from the crucifixion itself. The scars in his hands and his side were there as a remembrance of his sacrifice on the cross. For us, act like it. Because of the resurrected Christ, you are to share the good news. So first, because Christ is risen, he is risen indeed, we have peace with God. We can be saved from the wrath of God. We can stand before a holy God. It's just as if we've never sinned. Christ bore our sin on that cross and declared it complete, finished, gone, and to prove it, he rose from the dead. Also, he says here in verse 21, Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you." Because of the resurrected Christ, you are to share the good news. Look down at verse 23, because here's another very confusing verse, I think. "If you forgive the sins of any, their sins have been forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they have been retained." Now, the Bible is very clear that only God can forgive sins. This is the message of the gospel. Your sins can be forgiven through the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. It's God's wrath that had to be satisfied. Therefore, only God could see it satisfied. He is the only means by which sins can be forgiven. But you know, the Catholic Church and the Orthodox Church uses this same verse as a reason to have priests confer forgiveness. They say that verse 23 means that to the apostles, and that's why I read Luke, to remind us that there were more than just apostles there, right? When he said this, he said it to all of them that were gathered. So to the church, he said this, not to just the apostles. To the church, he said this. So they take this and they say, well, this means that that the church, the priest, in the lines of the apostles, have the ability to forgive sins. And we, you know, maybe you're a former Catholic. Maybe you only learned most of Catholicism from, you know, watching it on television or something. But we do know they approach the priest and say, Father, forgive me, for I have sinned, right? And he says, well, do, you know, your Hail Marys, do this for repentance, and then you can be forgiven. No, the priest can't forgive me any sins. I didn't sin against the priest. I sinned against God. Where do I go for forgiveness for that? The resurrected Jesus Christ. But the church has been given the gospel. The church has been given that message. We've been studying the book of Acts, right? We're to be witnesses of that truth, that Christ can forgive sins. And the church says, hey, if you will confess Christ as your Savior, believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. And when folks do that, the church says, you're saved. Right? If you deny the gospel, if you don't believe the gospel, if you won't come to Christ, the church says, you're not saved. You need to be saved. So it means that the church, that we have the authority to proclaim the forgiveness of sins through the message of the gospel. In fact, Acts put it this way: of Christ, all the prophets bear witness that through his name, everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins. We're to share the good news. He said, peace be unto you. As the Father sent me, I am also sending you. In other words, he said, act like it. If you believe the Father sent me, and you believe the message that I gave, and you believe I've defeated death and come out of the grave, then act like it. Tell somebody. Share the good news. Jesus will do what he said he would do. Jesus will do what he said he will do. We have the message that the world needs. The resurrection proves that. The resurrection proves that the gospel is true. The resurrection proves that the scriptures are true. I have said this before. I will say it again. I don't believe in the resurrection because the Bible says so. I believe the Bible because the resurrection says so. If Christ is risen and risen indeed, then the Bible's true, the message is true, the scriptures are true. But I don't believe in the resurrection because the Bible tells me that. It could be lying, it could be a myth. But if Jesus Christ really rose from the dead, then hey, what else does the Bible say? If it was right about that, what else did the Bible say? The resurrection proves that Jesus also will judge the world in righteousness. This is what's of vital importance. There is judgment coming. Acts 17:31. Because he has fixed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness through a man whom he has appointed. Now, the first he is God. Okay. How is God going to judge? What's he going to use? He's going to judge through a man whom he has appointed. That's Jesus. Having furnished proof to all men by what? Raising him from the dead. Judgment's coming. Jesus will be the one that you will face. It's proven because he rose from the dead, because he claimed to have power over death and sin. The resurrection proves that the gospel is true. 1 Corinthians 15. Now I make known to you, brethren, the gospel which I preached to you, which also you received, in which you stand. For I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ, what? Died for our sins, according to the scriptures, just as the scripture said he would, he did. Okay. Remember, when the New Testament is written, all these references are to the Old Testament. The New Testament is still being written. So when Paul says according to the scriptures, he's not talking about the Gospels. He's talking about the Old Testament. But so that Christ died for our sins, just as the Bible said he would, and that he was buried, and that he was raised on the third day, just like the Bible said he would. The resurrection proves that the gospel is true. Therefore, Christ commands us to go share it. Share the good news. Share the good news that Christ suffered and died for our sins. That based upon the finished work of Christ, we could stand forgiven before a holy God and not be fearful of judgment. Lastly, because of the resurrected Christ, you have the Holy Spirit. Now again, verse 22 is also intriguing. Verse 22 says, "And when he said this to them, he breathed on them and said to them, 'Receive the Holy Spirit.'" Now we know that the Spirit didn't come till Pentecost, right? So the Spirit didn't come yet at Pentecost. But yet here before Pentecost, here in this locked room where the disciples and others of the church were gathered, he gives them a little preview of what's to come. He symbolically breathes on them the Holy Spirit. Now, when a person puts their faith in Christ, they become united with Christ in a way that is both personal and mystical. Okay. This union with Christ is made possible by the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, who brings Christ's life and power to bear on our lives. Okay, now follow me, all right? So we are crucified with Christ. We were buried with him in likeness. We are in union with Christ. We have been joined to Christ through the work of the Holy Spirit. So this union with Christ is made possible by the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, who brings Christ's life and power on the believer's life. Thus, it is through the Holy Spirit that Christ lives in the believer, and it's through Christ that the Holy Spirit indwells the believer. So we often say, the Holy Spirit lives in us. And then sometimes we say, Christ lives in us. Christ, the hope of glory, lives in us. They're both true. They're both true. They worked in tandem. And, of course, you could also say God dwells in us because of the Trinity. Jesus provides. So this union with Christ, in which the Holy Spirit supplies us with Christ's life. In that, Jesus provides everything we need for life and godliness. 2 Peter 1:3. Seeing that his divine power has granted to us everything pertaining to life and godliness through the true knowledge of him who has called us by his own glory and excellence. Every believer has what they need to live the Christian life. Every believer has what they need to have victory over sin. It's provided by the power of the Spirit as the Spirit imparts the life of Christ in us. We have every resource in Christ in us. The resurrection proves that. It proves that we are united with Christ. I have been crucified with Christ, yet it's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. Galatians 2:20. As I mentioned, the resurrection proves the power of the triune God. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, the great three in one, are all involved in our salvation. We have peace with God. We have a commission from God to share the good news. We have been given the tools that we need through the Holy Spirit indwelling us. How many of you believe Jesus rose from the dead? Raise your hand. Act like it. Let's pray. Now, Lord, it's certainly not wrong to focus on the resurrection at Easter time. It is good news. It's the holiest day of the church. But, Lord, I think after the hustle and bustle is over, we kind of live our lives like it didn't happen, or that it doesn't matter. It does matter. It matters to the infinite degree. I mean, if it's real, if it's true, then it changes everything. So if there's someone here who are struggling with peace with God, I pray the Holy Spirit would give them an awareness of the peace that has already been theirs through Jesus Christ. We have peace with God. We have a commission. We have our marching orders. As we've been looking at the book of Acts, we shall be witnesses. That is what we are here for. And again, we have every resource to do that. We have every resource to do that. We know the gospel. We've believed the gospel. We've incorporated the gospel, Lord. And we have the Holy Spirit. So I would pray that the phrase, he is risen indeed, would be more than just pompous ceremony. But it would be our thought of every day, of every hour. Christ the Lord is risen again. Alleluia. Amen.